since I missed the last couple of days, I had to get caught up, and this is the guy I go to get caught up. A Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer, co-host of You Pod to Win the Game podcast. Generally speaking, an all-around badass journo. He is Charles Robinson. Charles, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you doing today?
Good, dude. Good. Appreciate you. Thanks for coming back. Listen, for a lot of people, Aaron Rodgers' fatigue is set in. Not for this dude. I'm here for it. All of it. He pretty much let it all hang out on the McAfee show this week. Let me ask you this. What have you seen or heard from Aaron since he emerged from the darkness that has stood out to you most of all?
Well, we're kind of entering Brett Favre territory. Remember, I don't think a lot of people remember how it ended between Brett Favre and the Packers, but it was Brett basically saying, hey, the Packers pushed me out. I wanted to come back, and they wanted to move on to Aaron. And, you know, this is why I ended up with the New York Jets. And that's really what's happened now with Aaron Rodgers. You listen closely to what he said on the Pat McAfee show. He said, when I came out of the darkness retreat, the tone of the team had changed, and all of a sudden I'm finding out, like, hey, I'm being shopped. And I don't think you get more clear than him saying I was still up in the air in terms of what I wanted to do, and that's part of what the darkness retreat was for. And when I came back out, the Packers weren't up in the air. I was being shopped. I was being pushed. And Mark Murphy, the CEO, made that as clear as possible, and with clear intent went out and said, you know what, I'm going to talk about him in the past tense. I'm going to talk about, hey, you know, when Hall of Fame time comes around, we'll be there for him. But for all intents and purposes, we're moving on. And, you know, I think, Aaron, at that point, that's you're in a situation where you have a one-team market. You have the Jets who want you. They believe they can be a Super Bowl-caliber team the second you walk through that door. And that's really how this has all come together. Now it's just the waiting game in terms of who can be most patient on the compensation.
Charles Robinson joining us to that very point that it's a one-team market in the compensation. You know, regarding all of that, there is some disagreement. In your opinion, who has the leverage here? Is it the Packers, the Jets, or maybe Aaron himself?
I think Aaron has the leverage. You know, we're arguing back and forth about who has the leverage between the Packers and the Jets and who can be most patient. But Aaron is sitting there, you know, and he knows the Packers don't want me back. They don't want me in that building. They don't want to be on the hook for $60 million this year, and they can't cut me. If they cut me, they owe me more than $94 million. So in some sense, Rodgers does hold the cards here. He can stare at the Packers and say, look, take your time, do whatever you want, but the second I can be back in that building, I will be, and I will be making it as uncomfortable as possible. You're going to pick up Jordan Love's fifth-year option in May. He's your presumed starter. You don't want me around. So you need to go ahead and wrap this up. And if that means taking slightly less than what you would hope to get from the Jets, you need to do that. And I think the Jets are on board with it right now. I think the Jets are like, look, there's other players we got to go out and hunt down, and we have, you know, parts of the roster we're going to update. We can take our time doing this. And eventually the Packers are going to have to make a move because Rodgers can walk back into that building. He's still under contract. He's still a Packer. And the union would step in if the Packers were like, hey, Aaron, we're not going to allow you back into the building. At that point, the union's going to step in. They're going to say, wait a minute, he's under contract. You can't hold him hostage. You can't keep him out. He's your player, and your player is reporting, and you're saying, no, we're not accepting that. It's going to be a real mess. But people are underestimating the amount of leverage Rodgers really does have to go back in that building, make things really awkward.
Charles Robinson joining us. I was going to ask you that very question since you hit on it. Let's just finish the thought. Is there any scenario or any percentage where you could see him going back and playing another year with the Packers because the whole thing just blew up?
I don't. I really don't. Not at this stage, I think the Packers know if push comes to shove, they're going to just take the lesser compensation. They'll figure it out and be creative and try to see if they're not going to get two first-round picks out of this guy. I don't know that they're necessarily going to get one first-round pick, but I do think there could be a package worked out where maybe it's a couple of second-round picks and one of those picks can graduate into a first-rounder if Aaron plays 2 years, if they win a Super Bowl in, you know, one of the next 2 years. Because I really do think for the Jets, this acquisition, it's a two-year window. They'd like to have Aaron come in and have it be sort of the Tom Brady plan when he went to Tampa, which was a two-year window. Let's see what we can build in this two-year time frame. I don't think there's any way at this point the Packers want any part of this, the potential of him returning. And if that means having to take less, it's better to do that than just go through a complete public relations and team nightmare, which is exactly what they're asking for.
Charles Robinson joining us. So this next question, I think, relates in part to what the compensation is. But, you know, to your point, the Jets think they are a Super Bowl team, or at least they've got to look at it with Aaron Rodgers. In your opinion, I mean, obviously they're much better, but what does he make them really? Are they a playoff team, or are they a legitimate Super Bowl contender with Rodgers?
Well, let's be clear. They still have work to do. We know that. The offensive line, they've got to figure out how they want to stack the line, what's going to happen with Mekhi Becton, what the tackle position is going to look like. So there's work to be done there. They got to extend Quinnen Williams. That's going to be a massive contract, like a market-setting contract extension for an interior defensive lineman. So there's other business to be done. There's no doubt about that. But if you talk to the Jets and they're being honest, they felt like their Super Bowl window, they actually had a shot last year if they would have just had competent quarterback play, which speaks to how bad they really felt like the quarterback position was for them last year. You know, a little bit above average quarterback play with that defense, and had Breece Hall not gone down with the knee injury, you know, the Jets felt like we could have been talking about not just a playoff run, but a sustained, surprising, stunning playoff run. Now, a year later, while starting, when the season kicks off in September, I think they feel like, health permitting, they're going to have a Super Bowl team with Aaron there in the fold. And, you know, they'll take care of whatever business they need to take care of. They'll talk to some of these other players that are on this list that doesn't exist. Now we're hearing, oh, they might be talking to Odell Beckham Jr. I think Mercedes Lewis is a guy they'll talk to, Randall Cobb. So they'll bring in some of Aaron's trusted players on the roster, and just like the Buccaneers did with Brady. But there's zero question. I don't know if they'll admit it publicly, but there's zero question. They feel like they get Rodgers in, they get this business sewn up, they're going to be a Super Bowl caliber team next year.
So one more thought about that. Like, he won the MVP back-to-back, and then last year's numbers were down. I mean, would the Jets have you believe, or internally do they believe, that if he gives them exactly what he gave Green Bay last year, that's enough to get to the Super Bowl?
I think they think he'll give them better than what he was able to give the Packers last year. I think, first off, they feel like the overall talent of the wide receiver position will not only be better than what it was with the Packers last year, because let's remember, I mean, Davante Adams was out. You're dealing with a couple of rookies that, you know, he's trying to bring along during the course of the season. There were injuries around him. I think they're looking at Aaron Rodgers and they're saying, we're going to have a more seasoned set of wide receivers. Our young players, top line player, Garrett Wilson. I mean, you're talking about an offensive player of the year last year, offensive rookie of the year last year. I think they feel like running back wise, Breece Hall can come back healthy at some point. That will help. I just think they feel like, look, the pieces around him are going to be better than they ultimately were, with the Packers once they're finished doing the work that they have to do. Plus, he's going to have Nathaniel Hackett. And I know everyone clowns Hackett and what a terrible outcome it was in Denver, but Hackett was there for back-to-back MVP seasons. And a lot of that had to do with not only the offense they were running, but the fact that Hackett put a lot of that offense in Aaron's hands. Now, you know, there were internal fights at times with Matt LaFleur and Aaron about, you know, how exactly they wanted that offense to function. But I think Aaron knows it's going to be more toward the West Coast style that I want to run. I'm going to be able to call protections at the line. A lot of this offense is going to be put in my hands, and I think that's a good thing both for him and Hackett.
I agree. Charles Robinson joining us, and he loves Hackett. I agree with you. I mean, we all clowned him for how it went last year, but you know Aaron loves the guy. Charles, really quickly, you mentioned Odell Beckham. I mean, yeah, it'd be great for Aaron Rodgers to have Beckham, but that's not going to happen. That's out of the question, given what Beckham wants. In fact, given what Beckham wants, what's the market look like for him right now?
Good luck. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a market there for a $20 million wide receiver. I'm baffled, honestly, at that figure, because he's 30 years old. You've seen a remarkable run of injuries. I mean, look, at times has he flashed that player that he was? We're talking now 6 years ago, you know, 7 years ago. Yeah, he flashed it, but we haven't seen that guy consistently in a really long time. There's been a couple of knee injuries. That's concerning. And again, he's 30. No one's running out there to pay any 30-year-old wide receiver who has not been at the top of their game the last couple of seasons $20 million a season in 2023. So if he dials that back, and we're talking about, you know, a 2 or 3 year deal at a clip of, you know, $12 million, $13 million, maybe, you know, $20 to $25 million guaranteed, that's a different deal that I think some teams would be willing to sign on for. But at his numbers right now, I don't think he has a market. And the only way he would end up with the Jets, it would be a significant discount below $20 million a season, if that's actually what he's seeking right now.
So who's got less of a market, him or Ezekiel Elliott?
Man, that's a good Wow, what a question. That's a fantastic question.
Thanks, dude.
I mean, normally you would say the running back, right? But, I mean, just the age on Beckham Jr., the injuries. I mean, here's the thing about Ezekiel Elliott that I think people underrate. He had a pretty solid season last year, and that rotation between he and Tony Pollard actually worked really well. But, you know, is he the same player won back-to-back rushing titles? No, he's not. You know, he's just a different player at this point, and, you know, health is always going to be a concern. He's going to have to be part of a rotation. But his price tag is going to be a lot less. So I would say that actually Zeke probably has a better market than Odell, just in terms of knowing where his price tag is ultimately going to fall. This isn't going to be a $10 million running back for someone to sign. It's going to be a cheaper deal than that. And, you know, I think the ability of teams to want to rotate and have a power running back will keep him on the radar of some teams. But I'm just telling you, Odell Beckham in the $20 million digit, that's a non-starter. No one is going to look at him for that number. And at the very least, when you look at Ezekiel Elliott, he's not sitting there going, well, geez, I need 15. That's kind of what it would look like if he was doing what Odell's doing right now.
Right. He is a Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer. He is co-host of You Pod to Win the Game podcast. As I mentioned, an all-around badass journo, always here for us. Charles Robinson, my guest. Dude, appreciate you very much. Great job as always, and thanks for coming back on.
Thanks for having me, brother. Take care.
You too, dude. Take care. So good.